Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to American Statesman Blog Talk Radio, the place where it's all about duty, honor, country, and one nation under God. Today is Monday, November 20th, 2023, and what a day it is. And before we get started, it's Thanksgiving week. Thanksgiving's just a couple days away, and we're going to be talking about that tonight. That's going to be our focus. We'll talk about a couple other little things here and there, but we really want to talk about what Thanksgiving means and where we stand today and why we need to be thankful for the country we have and what we need to do to save it and to keep it. But before we do that, let's go ahead and do the pledge. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. And I guess I will, two other things, definitely say a prayer for America, say a prayer for the world. We need to do a lot of praying these days. And I will continue to say until things change, I love my country, it's my government I am afraid of. And this is a week for us to think about so much of what is happening. And like I say, and I believe Dr. Talbert's going to possibly join us a little bit later here or when he gets a chance to share a prayer with us for Thanksgiving. But I want to talk about Thanksgiving in general, what it means to be an American. When we think of the evilness that's going on in this world today, what's happening over in Israel, and what's happening right here, where we have people who don't believe in Judaism or Christianity. They believe Jews and Christians shall be dead, and they're wanting to pretty much take over the country. That's a sad fact, and that's something, as much as it's not what you really want to talk about on Thanksgiving week, or the week of Thanksgiving, that we need to talk about. We need to face it. We need to see how did we lose our own faith and how we caused our own problem here. So that is going to be the focus of tonight's show. Might be a little bit short tonight. Like I say, we're not going to get into a lot of heavy details. We'll talk about a couple things. But the focus really is on Thanksgiving. And we truly, truly do need to be saying a lot of prayers. We need to be getting back to what we're supposed to be as a people, what we were. And let's see. Okay. I believe Dr. Talbert's going to be joining us in just a minute here. I do see him out there waiting. Okay. I see him now. And okay. Okay, we will be joining with Dr. Talbert in just a minute. But anyway, we need God's protection. We are in such a situation that we've allowed ourselves to get to. For some of the right reasons, we were trying to be overly generous. We allowed ourselves to put our guards down to not defend out of being Christians and Jewish people who don't want to war. We want people to live as they want to live and whatever. But because we were so open, we allowed them to come over and take over our culture, to take over and taking God out of schools, taking the Ten Commandments off of a public building. And, of course, we have One Nation Under God and God We Trust all over our buildings, and they don't want that. They're destroying the statues. Well, I mean, it's just all these different things that are happening that we've allowed to happen in many ways for the right reasons of trying to be a generous people. However, you can't go so far as to totally lose your own faith to try to let others have their faith when their faith is totally contrary to what yours is, when their faith doesn't believe in the Constitution, doesn't believe in individual freedom, doesn't believe a woman has any rights. All these different things that we've kind of allowed our culture to decline to, and here we are. Excuse me. So anyway, the only a couple of news points I was going to put out there right now was just to go ahead and mention that, you know, people do seem to be getting more engaged. I do believe people are saying a few more prayers out there, which Glenn Beck is COVID thing. He's been doing this out there. getting people back into it. And then there's just other different things. And George Washington, of course, was the proclamation. And I've got his prayer for the United States and stuff. So we'll do some of those things too. But you see that people are kind of waking up, but then you also see the fears at the same time. And have we awoken and have we gotten people back engaged the way we need to in time to save this country? For example, the ruling in Colorado where these, for whatever it means, Republicans and independents, there were no Democrats involved, Republicans and independents, who were trying to get Trump off the ballot under the 14th Amendment insurrection thing, didn't work. They're still going to try to appeal it and whatever else, but right now he's back. He's still on the ballot in Colorado. And then there's been some rulings in reference to Georgia and maybe a couple other states in reference to the machines and admitting the fact the machines are not perfect and that people who were challenging some of the machines and whatever were, you know, we're not the Looney Tunes and we're not the conspiracy nutcase kind of stuff. So that's been out there. That's happening too. So we've got some things because we've continued to fight and we haven't given in. And, of course, we've been doing a lot of praying. I know a lot of us have been praying a lot more. Never to the degree that we really thought, God, what have we done so wrong that we're going to lose our country? And then say, dear Lord, help us. God, tell us, what do we need to do here? And we have to get back to those core foundations and be ready to protect. And the other thing that I'm going to mention, and then we'll get talk a little bit about George Washington's proclamation, and I'll have Dr. Talbot come on. And I see other people out there. I see your hands, so we will get to everybody as soon as possible. But we've got to understand, because we've allowed ourselves to be taken over, because we sacrificed our own personal beliefs for those who have beliefs that are totally contrary and harmful to us, we have an invasion on this country, on this homeland. There is an invasion. Anybody that tells you there's not an invasion, they're just not being honest with you. They're not telling you the truth. There is one. You look at the young military age is the way they refer to them coming over the border. So here they're putting a military, enemy military cells all across here. And this is being done by this administration. They're the ones who are allowing it. They're the ones promoting it. They're the ones who are the true insurrectionists because they're literally setting up the takeover of this country. We've opened the door. Some of you, I'm sure, heard what happened in San Francisco. They couldn't clean it up until the communists came into town. They had the parade for the communists. They had a standing ovation for the communists. The 400 CEOs paying $40,000 a plate to have dinner with the communist leader and giving him a standing ovation. Imagine that. All these CEOs, $40,000, they couldn't help an American. They can help the Chinese Communist Party. There's something sick going on here. There's something sick. You take that going on there with these people with this money, these CEOs, which I'm still trying to get a list of the CEOs that attended this because I think we needed to let them know what we think, but we won't get into too much of that tonight. But this is where you have to face the fact that our country is being taken over. And while whether you're a pro-Second Amendment, you better thank God we have a Second Amendment right now. It's my own personal belief. It is a Second Amendment. And the veterans who are still willing to defend in the military that haven't been totally woked over, who are still ready to defend and then support that Constitution, and then you know the individuals who are armed, that give us any chance to save this country. It's a sad situation. So I'm not trying to be all depressing on Thanksgiving, but we need to realize where we're at. We need to realize why we had a Thanksgiving to begin with. Let's see if I can find this one quick quote by George Washington. It was one of his that was that I thought was just so appropriate in the most basics. Okay, let's see here. Thanksgiving Proclamation, to recommend the people of the United States a day of public thanksgiving and prayer to be observed and acknowledged with grateful hearts in many of, and signal favor of Almighty God. We are here because of Almighty God. And there's he's got a prayer for the United States, and if we have time, I will read that one. But we have to realize that we haven't been doing our job. We have gone the wrong way. Here's one other of his quotes real quick. It is the duty of all nations to acknowledge the providence of Almighty God, to obey his will, to be grateful for his benefits, and humbly to implore his protection and favor. This is what the first president of the United States believed. And you can go all over the place out there and find more and more of his beliefs. He was, and he also didn't believe in political parties, but we won't go there right now either. But the point is, this is what this nation was founded on. But when you look out there today, do you think that's what's out there today? Do you think that for a minute that is what is happening? Because it's not. That's not who we are today, and that's what the problem is. So many have lost their way, and for many, many reasons, which we've talked about many times on this show, and how we have to turn it around, how we have to educate those who have been lied to and misled. We have to understand who the evil and the enemy from within is, because that's the truth. And that's why I think this week, as we're approaching the holiday season, we have to realize how we got here. We have to see what we're going to have to do to change. But we have to also be extremely, extremely aware of what is around every corner. I definitely am one who believes there will be some type of 9/11 event, whatever you want to call it, by these people who've invaded our country, who've been invited to invade our country by those who are the treasonous traitors of this country. And they're in public office, many of them. They're not the only ones, but they're in public office, and they've been empowered through people in public office for, like, the NGOs and stuff like that. They're there, and they're trying to take us down. And it's only going to be through faith and the willingness to defend and protect that we stand a chance. And like I said, that Second Amendment. The Second Amendment allows us a mechanism to defend ourselves. And it's just kind of the way it is. And I wish it wasn't so. I don't mean to be depressing, people. I really don't. But I think we have to be honest with what's happening right now and do some serious, serious soul searching and how we have to spread this God-fearing ideology, a faith that to others who have lost their way, especially younger people. Younger people who are now thinking Osama bin Laden was a wonderful person, that he was trying to kill the Americans because the Americans are evil. And this younger generation truly thinks it's the Americans who are the evil doers, that we're the ones, and it's just so insane. And if we don't change it, we won't have a country, and the world's going to lose. And who knows, there's many of us too, and I'm not the theologist by any means, but whether this is a sign of the end, the ending days, I don't know. I don't know. I really, it's very concerning to me with what I see happening out there. I don't want to think this is the ending. I also don't want to think our country is falling to the likes of very evil people who killing each other is okay. They kill when, you know, they don't think anything about it. They have no fear of God because they don't believe in God. And what they've done to the babies over in the Middle East, some of the things we've heard. I'm not going to go into all those details, but think about what's happening. Think about what we should be today, what being an American means today, what we should be thankful for, how we got to get back there. If we reject God, the Almighty, and we're going to continue to let these other people who do not believe as we do not believe in the Jewish faith or the Christian faith, if they don't believe that way, they believe in something completely different, Allah, we're not going to have a country. God's not going to help or bless us if we're going to reject. It's just not going to happen. So, and you're not going to be free under that other situation. Don't for a minute think you will live a free life. I mean, what they're already doing to the women in these other cultures and letting women know what they did to the women, even into babies. It's so disgusting. It's so evil. And if we're okay with the evilness, then it's over. It truly is over. And we've allowed this to happen because, like I said, in many cases, we were trying to do the right thing. We were trying to be open to people. When it came to China, this is just one. Were we trying to bring China into an open society, a more free society, or were we just trying to get cheap labor? You tell me, which were we really trying to do? And it didn't work out in any case. It didn't work out the way we quite planned. So anyway, with that being said, I'll stop there. This is what we need to focus on tonight. And I'm going to open the line up for Dr. Tolbert and welcome him to the show. Hey, Dr. Tolbert, how are you doing on this week of Thanksgiving?
It's a grace and a glory, Sally, that you invite me to come upon these certain days. And we talk about this every year. And it's really a blessing and a misunderstanding by many people. Let me start with that I have a doctorate degree in education, a master's degree in theology, and this year I received my PhD in philosophy and theology and education. So for those who want to disagree or agree, it's always a good thing to do because no one person is absolutely perfect. We learn every day something new. And today, we want to do what we have done in the past, and many people don't understand, but you don't pray for just your neighbor, but you pray for all the nations to come together as one body of God. So today, we'll start our prayer, and it's the prayer for the peace of the world. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, O Lord, our God, who can be compared with you? Who is even similar to you among the gods? What God is as great as our God, who is abundant in mercy and beloved in strength, to bring consolation and salvation to all of us? Therefore, we pray to you, O God, this day. Do not be silent at the time when we hear the voices of war and threats from the mighty ones of the earth. Forgive, O most loving God. Forgive and show mercy. You are the most compassionate and merciful Lord. And you will not chastise us in our wealth or instructions us into our anger. Otherwise, we would revert to the chaos at the beginning before we came into existence. During these difficult times, be with us, our Lord God. Make us strong, for we have placed our hope in you. We have fortified and encouraged by your name. May the word be confirmed, Lord, which you spoke to us, that you will always be with us to the end of ages. May the hopes of the Christians be raised up high, and may those who threats comes against us be put to shame. May those who threaten us with war and battle be terrified, shamed, shattered, and may their power be destroyed and their domination be no more. And they will know indeed that our name is the Lord, that you alone are the Most High above all earth. Hear the voice of supplication, O Lord, and turn away from us the dangers that threaten the human race. Dissolve the clouds of devastation from the possible war. Your peace give us, Father God, in the name of the Jesus, the Lord God, we come together. Many people now we're talking to as we close this world prayer that's actually in three books that I've written, Systematic Theology Through the Spiritual Eye, and the volume two got into the 600 pages of the Constitution, and we forget that the importance of why did the people in England leave? Why did they come to the United States? Why did they formulate the colonies, and why was there the first Thanksgiving? And what was the delay in the Thanksgiving? Many people don't fully comprehend the lack of Christianity was the reason why these individuals left in 1623 and formulated what they were doing in order to come about each day. There were several years of frozen drought and many issues, and it was difficult for the founders to really find how to eat and how to take care of themselves. And they started associating their life with a day that was in October or November, depends on how you look at it, because it was ratified and changed several times, that we came about with the understanding that it was important. They sat with the Indians and the tribes, and they sat and were eating and harvesting and putting together. Think of the battles and the wars that we had after Thanksgiving. Think of the Civil War and the destruction of the Constitution. Think about all the things that we've done in America, and now we're finding countries coming against us. Back in the early days when we formulated the industry in the Second World War, we actually had 60% of all production of any and all hardware before they went to computers and transferred it other places. So in our Thanksgiving today, do we go back to the day of finding of the fathers, or do we go back to yesterday, or do we go to tomorrow and go into the fact that Thanksgiving this week is more than what we think, but less than what it should be? Black Friday is coming up, and there'll be an increase in prices the day after Thanksgiving, which became an argument with Roosevelt because he wanted people to move back 1 week from Thanksgiving so that they could spend more money and buy things and do things in 1839. We saw a lot of stores and people going against. In 1941, the Constitution was changed and was then reverted to a different time. We see that there are many times people aren't really going into and understanding fully what was the important and why are we where we are today. Thanksgiving is a selection of day. It's not a selection of gifts. It's not a selection of what people want to put upon there. Thanksgiving is a holiday. It's a grace and the glory of the God starting in November the 23rd in 1621 when Plymouth colonists came from England and they fought to own and to help. It wasn't until 1863 in the Civil War that Abraham Lincoln proclaimed a national Thanksgiving and held in each November. But it's not without controversy, not without argument, not without discussions and problems. Should that change or stop from what happened today when in the 1620 the Mayflower ship left Plymouth, England, carrying 102 passengers and bringing them into this new world and the new structure? Or should we pray for those who died, who defended our country, our soldiers today and our Veterans Day, November 11th? How did that fit into Thanksgiving? Should you be celebrating them? Who should we be looking at today? Should we look at the ships that passed? Should we be looking at the sequence that took place that in 1621, when the colonists became successful for the first time in their harvest? Should any of these things be considered? Why is there many changes that in 1789, George Washington issued the first Thanksgiving? Why did his successor, John Adams and James Madison, also designate days? Why were there major changes? People have to go back into and read and find out what started the Thanksgiving and what's the purpose. How has it failed? What about the people next door to you that have no food, no shelter, no clothing? And yet we find we're going to many other places. But yet here in America, we have the highest degree of non-education. Other countries are far surpassing us. Our ministries are falling apart. They're no longer about teaching the word and educating, which we're doing in our volume 1, 2, and 3. They're actually educating failure. They're educating things, for an example, our batteries, our production, our electronics are all coming from other countries. Our clothing are all coming from other countries. How are we going to thank and be thankful for what God gave us if we're going against it? Why are we allowing other people in the United States to come and change everything? How about the Macy's parade? How is that important? Why should we be thinking about a parade when we look at all the Spanish conquerors and all the other people that turned their life over to God and they changed the direction they were going? Our prayers today is about the grace and the glory of God. Our prayers today is not about just the day of the beginning of Thanksgiving. Our prayers are about, don't do what you're being told to do on Friday. There's no savings for what you're going to be doing on Friday. Your savings should be put forth to help other people. This weekend, there was a starvation. This weekend, there were maybe major problems. Well, what changed from the origination of Thanksgiving? Years went by where there was starvation, and they had to get the crops. They had to get the food going into the ground. They had to change the direction of which they were doing, and they did it. They became a nation, not only the 14 colonies, but we became the 50 states as we became one body of Christ. How many of our states, though, can actually stand up and say we're productive and we're able to provide? Who are you praying for this day? Are you praying for yourself? Are you praying for the nation? You have to raise your hands up to the Father God and say, Father God, thank you for protecting us. Build our army. Build our military. Put us in position that we can sit there and defend our country. Father God, we came from a country that was changing and rewriting the King James Bible, that they went against the actual scriptures. They went against the true believing in the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. They went against everything that we know and learn these days. But is it being taught in schools? Why are we no longer saying the Pledge of Allegiance? Why are we no longer opening the day in prayer? Do we have to start hybrid school systems? Do we get virtual reality? Do we need to close all the public school systems now and re-educate? Why is it if you go to a doctor, they're not born in America? We are seeing doctors every day from every country except the United States of America. Why? No education. No place for them to go. People are coming from these places, going to school here, being paid, and taking over your government. Is it bad? No, it's not bad. But why aren't you going to school? Why aren't you being educated? Why aren't you in prayer? It's the question you have to ask yourself every day. Yeah, we talk about prayer and we talk about protecting of the world, but that's God's responsibility. God protects the creation. Sure, it started with one and then two and then multiplied accordingly. And God laid the food. God placed the blessings upon us. God opened the door. God said, here I am. How many people tonight will argue and find discernment on negative comments or anything about what I say, what Sally says, or another member says? Don't argue with people. Present your viewpoint, and your viewpoint could teach the teacher who and what they're doing. Yeah, I have degrees, and I have education, and yeah, I spent 22 years in the military, and I'm a Vietnam veteran, and yeah, I've done everything God gives me to do. I take on my assignment, but there are people listening who won't take on their assignment. They won't go into the military. They won't get the proper education. They'll argue against the belief of the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. They'll argue against the indwelling Spirit of God. When the pilgrims sat at Plymouth Rock and they were blessed and highly favored and they were given the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ, they raised themselves above this. They became the conqueror. We became the 14 colonies. We then produced the Constitution. We produced everything that was necessary, and we defended our country. Tonight we prayed, and we prayed for Thanksgiving. We prayed for Thanksgiving doesn't mean for the day of Thanksgiving, but the thanks of what we received from the Father God, what we gave, what we're giving, and what we're doing to help our neighbors. Open your doors. Open your eyes. Raise your arms. Stay blessed and know this is not about what happened in the 1600s. This is what's happening today. We teach this often. Preparation meets opportunity. Yesterday, you're finished. Today, you're preparing for tomorrow. Your trials and tribulations are your teaching. You're being taught by your failures. You're being taught by what you learn. Don't look at the negative of trials and tribulations. Look at, you are given an assignment in the book of Habakkuk, your assignment. Write your vision upon the wall. Know that God has opened the door for you. Know that you have a plan accordingly. And say, thank you, my Father God. I am born again in the name of Jesus. Amen, Sally.
Thank you so much, Dr. Tolbert. I see a couple of hands out here. I see Joe, Karen, and then I think John is out there too. So let's go ahead and have Joe join the conversation, then we'll get to Karen and then to John. Hey, Joe, how you doing? If you're talking, you're on mute. Okay, don't know what happened to Joe, if he's out there.
I'm here.
Oh, okay.
I'm here.
Okay. Okay, I hear you now. Okay.
Yeah, sorry. I had my mother was on the other line, so I had to take her call.
Yes.
You know,
quite
so.
A worry. Yes.
Anyway, what's going on?
Well, just got Dr. Torbert on. We were just talking about the true meaning of Thanksgiving. And, of course, I was talking in the beginning in reference to everything we're facing today and how we kind of got here mostly because of...
You know, the thing of it is, yeah.
Go ahead.
We don't need to be thankful for anything because we don't need to be thankful. There's no thankfulness. What are we thankful for today? What our country's going down to hell in a handbasket. The people in our country are dumber than dumb. We have no morality anymore. All our churches are screwed up. Nobody knows what to worship because they all got their own opinions on what God is. Nobody sticks to the doctrine or doctrinal or historical facts. No, most people don't know true history. So if you can't have a debate or a discussion with most people because it becomes overextended and turns into an argument because people don't know the facts and they think their opinions are facts. You can't apply an opinion to a factual foundation and apply it as a fact to live and live like, because it's not true. You can only go by facts. The truth is not relative. You know, it's not you're right and I'm right, and let's go move forward. That's the problem. You always hear that argument out there. Oh, well, let's agree to disagree. No. No. I'm right, you're wrong. Or I'm wrong and you're right. That's the way it's got to be. You know, and someone needs to change their mind. And so we know we're right. We know we're sticking up for the Republic and the foundations of what this country was built upon. Now, if America doesn't want that, I'm willing to fight and die for it. I want my country. And I know while living by the Constitution, it's the right thing to do. And I know by believing in God and the Lord Jesus Christ, it's the right thing to do. You know, not Muhammad, not Buddha, not anything else. You know, the sun didn't save me. The moon's not going to save me. And no Indian that's dancing around a tree is going to save me. You know, and there's only one God. So, you know, and we have to get back to that in this country. It's not, I mean, we can't accept this melting pot crap. Back over to you.
Well, and I think that's sort of, I didn't quite say it that way, but I was sort of saying we've allowed other cultures to come in here and take over, and we have to accept the fact that when they're trying to kill the Jews, it's just they want both the Jews and the Christians dead. And if you take that element in Christianity out of this country, we don't have a country. That's what we are founded on. But because we said we believe in freedom of religion and everybody can do with their own thing, that somehow that meant they were allowed to take over this country, which is really what has happened.
Yeah.
Now, when it comes to the what to be thankful for, well, I'm thankful that we still have some sort of a little bit of a country left that we might be able to save. And I'm thankful that people seem to be waking up some. But you're totally right. The ignorance out there, the total misunderstanding. I mean, how can anybody think Osama bin Laden is a good guy and that it was the Americans that were evil? We've got this, we've allowed, it's been us, it's we the people who have allowed this corruption of the culture. And as I sort of tried to explain in the beginning, maybe because we thought we were doing the right thing to be open and willing to receive other people, whatever. But, of course, that was over time. That isn't what's happening at this moment. At this moment, we have the... we have the situation where we have an invasion of people who don't believe as we do. We have a government that is promoting the insurrection of this country, the invasion and takeover and fall of this country. And that is what is so sick. And of course, I'm not thankful for that. Because, but at the same time, who let it happen? We the people. It was we the people that did it through ignorance, kind of thing. Dr. Tolbert, did you want to say something real quick here?
No, I think what I've had to say and what he is saying now is not objecting each other. It just said in another manner. Just continue to do what you're doing, Sally. He has a reason behind he has his comments. I'll leave it there.
Okay, because I don't think he's disputing it, but of course, Joe, you speak for yourself, disputing what Dr. Tolt was saying, and you were on the call, so you probably did not hear part of it. But anyway, the whole point is, I didn't hear most of it. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know what his doctrine or foundation of faith is, or what his statement of faith is, or what he stands for. If he believes in the Constitution, in the restoration of our republic, or if he believes, in the one God and Lord Jesus Christ, I don't know what that is. But is that what he stands by? I don't know. Like I said, I didn't hear his opening.
Yeah. Well, yeah, Dr. Tolbert, go ahead, Dr. Tolbert.
Yeah. To begin with, I did cover everything you just said in the opening 20 minutes. And my three-volume Systematic Theology Through the Spiritual Eye gets into the fivefold ministry. It gets into the Trinity. It gets into the teaching, the integration of the Constitution. It gets into the interaction of the biblical powers and the power that the Bible was to have over the Constitution and the original things. So my PhD is in philosophy, theology, and in education. I have a doctorate degree in education. I have 22 years in the military. My background is not different than yours, but it's different in my outcome and what I'm doing. I've ran for the president, the governor, the Senate. I have written articles to the United States about its failure. I have been supported by ministries throughout the United States, college, universities. I'm in 45 countries teaching and put my hands upon people being born again. Whether you want to talk about being born again, the Trinity, or the fivefold ministry, that is your position. My position is that I'm an apostle. People don't know who an apostle is as a messenger. They may know what a pastor is or evangelist or a teacher. They have little ideas how I speak God's word. Whether you listen to what I have to say is your opinion, not your intelligence. Go ahead, Sally.
Well, wait a second. What do you mean by, I don't understand, what do you mean by apostle? What is that meaning to you? I don't get it. What do you mean? You're saying that you're a messenger?
That's correct. That's exactly what the title of an apostle is today in the new biblical scholarship, that they changed the word of the apostleship and the 27 different apostles, and they laid a hand upon them through the New Testament, that we became an actual messenger, not a messenger as a prophet, but a messenger of teaching the change of all the nations back to one God. I am here to lay my hands upon you. Whether you want to open your heart to God or not, that is not my concern. That's between you and God. My responsibility is to bring schools, education, income, teaching, and jobs to 195 countries. I'm doing it as an apostle.
Can I ask a question? Where in the Bible is that foretold, though? Where? Because the apostles, when the last apostle died, that was it. There was no more apostles. There's no apostolic ascension in the Bible, and every apostle, it was fulfilled by prophecy. And as far as healing goes or bringing the message, the greatest commandment in the Bible that Jesus gave was to love God with all your heart. And go out and preach the gospel to all the world. Now, but there's no more healing. Nobody can heal anybody. Are you saying that you can heal people? Because the only way to be... Go ahead.
No, I did not say that I heal anyone. I'm a messenger. I didn't lay my hands on you. I don't heal you. My assignment is very simple. The apostolic movement is a call to plant overseas to... spiritually get people involved. You can go on Google. You can go any place you want. You can read the biblical. I use Farrell Fenton's Bible. I have a different way of thinking. I am not going to get into a talk show with Sally and discuss or argue a point of view. Thanksgiving, we're discussing the praise and the glory of Thanksgiving. We're going to stay into Thanksgiving. If you want to change your position and get away from Thanksgiving, you go ahead and do that.
Well, what do you mean Thanksgiving now? So you mean Thanksgiving as far as because like I said, I missed your opening. What are you thankful for? I mean, God, I'm thankful for the Lord Jesus Christ, yeah. But I'm saying our country's in trouble right now, you know. But the Bible does say in 2 Corinthians 11, though, for if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if you receiveth another spirit which ye have not received, or another gospel which ye have not accepted, ye might well bear within him. You know, so there's no other, there's only one Christ. There's not you're right and I'm right, and we can go, you know, there's only one way, and there's only one Jesus. And there's, you know, do you agree on that?
I'm not disagreeing with you. In fact, in 2 Corinthians 13:1, what it clearly says that we only answer to God. We don't answer to the congregation. We're a servant to God in Christ. We only follow his instructions, and we have been given an assignment. If you don't know what it means, and I don't mean you personally, but I use the word if you don't know, is anyone listening that doesn't know they're born again, if they don't know how to raise their hands up on, if they don't understand the fivefold ministry, if they don't understand the Trinity, that's between them and God, not me. I deal with
what's the fivefold ministry? What is the fivefold ministry? Because, yeah, I understand the Trinity and the Godhead, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. But also in Corinthians, it does say also, for such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. So,
and
I mean,
pastors,
you know, so.
There's pastors and evangelists, and there's teachers, there's prophets, there's apostles, and there are many of these individuals are falsely using it for their own personal income or their own personal comments. They're not using it because of the calling. So the fivefold ministry, if you have to ask me that question, you need to go back and research what I'm teaching, and I'm staying with the apostle, the pastor, the prophet, the evangelist, the teacher. That's the fivefold ministry. We're writing books on how to establish and how to put together schools and education. We're establishing the Trinity is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. It's simple. People want to believe it, don't want to believe it. They want it again in conversation. I'm discussing tonight, and I've been asked to come on this show to pray for those that need prayer for that which you come. You didn't listen to 20 minutes of what I had to say. I don't have an answer for you there. Go back and listen to the show when we're finished. Find out about 1623. Find out about Plymouth. Find out about how we failed in the United States. Find out how our government came apart. Find out how all the things that I said in 20, 30 minutes, you're covering it now as a negative or a positive. That's what you want to do. You go ahead and do that. I'm not a Republican.
Well, no, it's not
a
negative. It's not a negative. It's not a negative. The Republic was lost after the Civil War through the Act of 1871, and then it was hijacked through the monetary system in 1913 through the Federal Reserve Act, and then that Federal Reserve bankrupted our country in 1929, and the Emergency Powers Act came about in 1933, where the socialism progressive ideas began to start taking its play, and then, of course, we had the Civil Rights Movement, we abandoned the gold standard in 1973, and so on and so forth. So I'm very well versed on how we lost our republic. We don't have a republic anymore. We have a de facto corporation.
And you get into that England bought Washington, D.C. England owns Washington, D.C. Our money in the whole war and conflict went with England uprooting the entire United States, how the United States failed to follow the Constitution, the entire structure. But Thanksgiving, this is the day of the thanking of God for the grace and the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. I come upon you in prayer. Whether you want to follow your prayer or my prayer, or what do you want to follow? Anybody's prayer is not relevant. It's God opening the door for you, not me. I don't open your door. Your conversation tonight has to be between you and God, and that's where it's at.
Yeah, well, Thanksgiving.
I guess,
but,
let me inject. Hey, hold on just a second. Let me kind of put, again, what we were founded on. This is George Washington who started Thanksgiving Day in the recognition that we needed to be thankful for what we had. And, of course, that also meant we had to be responsible, too. His farewell address says so much of it. The thing where we are today, we have lost so much of it because we failed to truly live a thankful life. We failed to remember what God is and the role God plays in this country. And that's my own personal beliefs. That's what we were founded on, one nation under God. And why we have lost our country today is because we were greedy, selfish, all the different things. There's many, many reasons why we're in this mess today. And a big part of it was due to ignorance of things that were happening with the government that we, at that time, 1871, the majority of people had no clue what was going on. Just like even today, people will still talk about your constitutional rights and stuff like that. When you, those of us who have been on this, listening and discussing this on this show, know what they're in some kind of la-la land. They're not paying attention to what's going on, how we've been sold out in so many ways, how China has bought up half this country, this homeland, how we have an invasion going on. And there's actually people who think this invasion isn't an invasion. I mean, there's so many reasons why we're in the mess we're here. The thing that I will say that I am thankful for is that we still have a little bit of a chance to save it. I'm not exactly sure how, but I'm telling you right now, and Joe, I'll get back to you then, and after I want to bring in Karen and some of the others that are still out there waiting. The fact is we lost our way, and we are facing a true risk that the massive 9/11, the world's largest 9/11 that could ever happen. Whether that means the end of the world, I don't know. But I know that we're given one last chance. I would say that I'm being thankful because I think we're being given one last chance. It's like, okay, you people have really been screwing up here, and, you know, things are getting bad. Now I've had this individual who's running this administration, which, of course, we all know Obama's in the background, the enemy is in the background kind of thing. I've done what I can to wake you people up, but if you still aren't going to take the responsibility and the beliefs and go back to where you're supposed to be, then you won't have a country. You won't have anything. You don't have much now.
Yeah, but Sally.
You've lost most
of it. Sally.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, but Sally, an apostle was an eyewitness of Jesus' resurrection. Okay, I mean, that's what the Bible says very clearly. And the gift of the apostle was accompanied by miraculous signs. This gentleman can't perform any miracles. He can't, that's what I'm saying. When you're claiming the title of apostle, that's not right. That's false doctrine. There's no apostles today. The apostles were only limited to the 12. That was it. It's very, 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 very well stated in the Bible. He was seen by Peter and then by the 12 apostles. After that, he was seen by more than 500 of his followers at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have died by now. Then he was seen by James and later by all the apostles. You know, only the apostles witnessed Jesus. That was it. And only they were given the power to heal and do those things. You know, that we cannot do today. You know, I just don't understand what he means by apostle, the title apostle. That's what's confusing me.
Paul wasn't an apostle in number 14. It wasn't 27 other apostles. There was never an assignment of 77 apostles. So everything you say about the 12 apostles totally contradict the Bible. And
no,
Sally,
doesn't.
I'm going to say I have nothing else to say after what he just said. So I'll just leave it alone.
How does it contradict the Bible? Why don't you stand behind the doctrine?
Yeah.
I'm having a theology discussion with you. That's all. A theological discussion
with you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I want to cover that, but I also want to let some other people come in too. So hold that thought. Don't go anywhere. This is important for us to talk about. And I do believe we might even have one person out here listening right now that doesn't believe in God. And the only thing that I can say for those who don't believe, I'm not trying to be funny here, but I know that person knows who I'm talking about out there. Those who don't believe in God, I would ask you, who do you think gives you your rights? If your rights don't come from God, they come from other humans, then you're probably, this is kind of what's happening right now. The humans are the ones dictating your rights, not God, which is what we're supposed to have.
The Holy Spirit and the Word of God lead us today. Go ahead.
Okay. Karen, I'll go to Karen next, and I see John still out there, so I'll get to you in a few minutes here, John. Karen, how are you doing this evening?
I'm doing great, and this is quite a conversation. And I happen to agree that with you, Sally, that there is a glimmer of hope, and that's what I have to be thankful for. And it is wonderful. I have been getting emails all day today from people saying thank you. Thank you for doing what you're doing. Thank you for being who you are. Thank you for telling the truth. Thank you for saying it like it is. You made me think. And that's the most important thing that we can do, is make people think. I agree with you. If God doesn't give us our rights, who will? And that's one of the reasons why the pledge is no longer said. That's one of the reasons why the So Help Me God has been taken out of the oath of office in states all over the country. We make it easy for the criminals, for the Marxists, for the communists to take over because we give them the ammunition. We are so tolerant, I hate that word, we are so tolerant of what the other side is doing, and we turn the cheek rather than holding them accountable. And that makes it easy for them to say, oh, look at America. They're a bunch of horrible people. They believe in letting their kids be sexually mutilated at an early age so they can change their gender. They believe that the family is their school. They believe that there is no God. When these people are looking for God, and at that moment I'm talking about Islam. So we give them the ammunition, but we are also able to tell the truth. And while we still are, we have to continue to do it. We have to continue to spread the word. And somebody said something very interesting on my show last week, and I want to share it with you, Sally. Make it everybody's job. Talk to 5 people and say, listen to this show and join me next week. If 1 or 2 do, that's 1 or 2 more. And if we continue to do that, it'll spread. And that's what we have to do. We have to spread the truth. We have to be able to say in this land of and world of disinformation what is true and not accept what they're saying. That's our greatest downfall, is not asking them to explain themselves, not asking them to define themselves, not asking questions like, who gives you your rights if not God? And by not making them do that, they get away with a lot of crap. I did see some really great news the other day, and that was in Argentina, of all places. They elected for their president a man who outwardly said, I am not going to accept this anymore. And I'd like to read a quote from him, Sally, if you don't mind. I thought this was really quite interesting. This is Javier Milei, and he's quite an interesting man. He's wearing a hat that says, Make Argentina Great Again, and he's promoting the MAGA movement in Argentina. Mm-hmm. And I thought that was wonderful. And this is what he said at his inauguration, of which, if you watch it, he was jumping up and down and dancing on the stage at how excited he was. One of the commentators said, well, I guess Argentina is finished with democracy because democracy was on the ballot. I have to say the same thing about America. We have to be finished with democracy because we are not a democracy. Our government is not a democracy. And every time I hear that, you should be saying, but we're not a democracy. As a matter of fact, somebody said that Trump is going to destroy the democracy in America. And I said, good, because we're not a democracy. I hope he does destroy this form of government that doesn't exist and is destroying us. But Milei said, you can't give shit leftards an inch. We are so much better than they are. We are defeating them in our cultural war. We are not only economically superior, but we are morally superior, and that triggers them. His platform says, abolish the Ministry of Women, Genders, and Diversity. Legalize concealed carry and make it easy for the people to own guns to protect themselves. Privatize all state-owned industries and eliminate all taxpayers' funding for gender ideology and Marxism in Argentinian schools and universities. Argentina, he said, will not trade with its second largest partner after Brazil. We will not trade with China. We will only trade with civilized countries. Isn't that refreshing? Now, imagine somebody saying that in America. They would go crazy. But that's what's happening. And the longer you listen to these people and all they are doing is spewing hatred, the more we have to put on our best effort to call them out on it. Otherwise, we have another situation whereby our kids believe that Hamas is wonderful and that Israel has colonized the Gaza Strip. Israel hasn't been in Gaza since 2005. I even remember pictures of the IDF going into Gaza and actually pulling Jews out of their homes so that there would be no Jewish influence at all in Gaza. So when these idiots are yelling, free Gaza from Israel, there is no Israel in Gaza. They should be screaming, free Gaza from Hamas. But the misinformation is staggering. And we also discovered past week about something that is going to make misinformation and finding it even harder. Why? Because the internet is now going to be turned over to the United Nations. Won't that be fun? And if you go to UNESCO's digital library, you will find on their digital platform there are over 150 guidelines and regulations of how to regulate the internet. So getting truthful information from a bunch of people who believe in communism and will do everything they can to destroy the West is going to become harder and harder. So telling the truth and working with platforms that are real and tell the truth is going to be more and more challenging. So I am going to be thankful that we at least have those platforms, that people can listen, and that hopefully the truth will be told. Because otherwise, as you said, we are in for a world of hurt, and it is going to be excruciatingly painful. They are coming at us from all different directions, lying and lying. And when I look at the one last thing, there's a very interesting article that I hope I can find. It was an article that Rashida Tlaib had a group together, and there were, I think they said something like 4 or 5 rabbis at this group rally. And in this rally, they also were pro-Hamas, and they were looking for a ceasefire. Well, that would be a disaster.
Yeah.
If we don't take this opportunity to get rid of these people who constantly are screaming how much they hate us. And by the way, today they attacked a church, and Hezbollah hid in the church and hid behind the Christians that were in the church praying. So this is the bunch of cowards that Israel is fighting and asking for help and, of course, not getting it because we have people like Tlaib who are busy screaming how wonderful Hamas is. But the point that I was going to say was that there was a section in the Torah, and it's the way that the Jewish religion is, that every week a certain section of the Torah must be read, and that section is read in every synagogue that is worshiping that week, and it's always the same section, so that the Torah is finished by all Jews at the same time. Well, the section that they read was, that's what I'm looking for, was, I want to not quote the wrong thing, so I'm just going to tell you what it is instead of the section that it was. And what it said was, that God has said to the people of Isaac, who was the son of Abraham, that they should go forth, and he has given the land of Israel to the Jews. And that was the section that was read. So I thought that was karma. That was pretty staggering. I also feel that maybe things are changing slightly in America as people are discovering the J6 tapes and the truth be told from that,
yeah,
and how government was behind it. And the judge in Georgia who said, wait a minute, this was a leftist judge also, she said, wait a minute, the machines, they're not good. We have to have a hearing on these machines because there are so many errors and no way to verify anything. But the telling thing that she said was the people who pointed this out were not conspiracy theorists. Now that should poke holes in Amy Willis's her trial with the Trump and all of those people. They, by her saying that, and of course Trump is allowed on the. Of course, it'll probably be appealed, but even the Colorado judge could not keep him off the ballot. So people are beginning, I feel, to see what is going on in America, who our real enemies are, and that is what I have to be thankful for today.
That, and I think that's one of the best points, too, and it's sort of, again, what I was sort of kind of trying to say in the beginning. It's like we've been given a second chance. That is, I guess, to me, what I truly believe is, okay, you've pushed the limits. You've done these things for whatever reason. You rejected God in schools, and you did all these things that were wrong. You made some mistakes, but I'm going to give you one more chance to get it right. I mean, that's kind of – that might sound overly simplistic, but I do think we're being given this one last chance to get things right. And if you choose to go the other way, if you choose to reject God, reject the foundation of this country, then you don't deserve the country, and it's not the country anyway. You, over the years, you've allowed it to be torn and broken down in so many respects. I mean, Tlaib is one of the biggest examples, or one of the easiest, I'll say one, not really, but one of the easiest examples of how we said, well, you know, you don't have to believe in God. You don't have to believe in any of this stuff. You don't have to believe in the Constitution. Go ahead and be in Congress. Sure, you can do that. Wait a minute. That's totally opposite. Okay, so you just surrendered your core beliefs and your rights to those who want to kill you. And I mean, I'm sorry, that's what this lady is. She's got that Palestinian flag out there. She's a Palestine. She is not a Palestinian. She's not an American. You should be an American if you're going to be in there. You should, when you take that oath, you should be willing to put your hand on the Bible, take your oath under God, and that's what you're going to follow. But we said, oh, no, we can't do that. The tolerance, I think, is the key word that Karen was mentioning. And this is what we've allowed over time. And I will be the first to say, I think in many cases, people were tolerant or thinking, well, God caring people, we're going to allow others. Somehow we got confused. And then, of course, the greed, the evil, you know, what is it? Greed and power are the two greatest evils out there. The instinct, whatever it is within the human soul, or whatever you call it, that is so money-hungry, greedy, wanting material things and power and whatever, when you let that take over, you don't have that other spiritual guidance either. You cannot be worshiping God if you worship money and power more than that. And you see these people who are in public office, what do you think they worship? Do you truly think they worship God? Now we're going to see what Michael Johnson's going to do up in that speaker's seat, because he seems to be a person of faith, but at the same time, so, yeah, give him a little bit of leeway. I don't know. I'm not real happy with his CR stuff, as we've talked about in the past, but at the same time, he actually says God on the floor. He actually mentions that stuff, mm-hmm. which is what most of them haven't done. So is there A born-again, if you want to call it, the born-again of the United States of America as a God-fearing people. And there again is what is there to be thankful for. We're being given a second chance. We have not surrendered our rights and our beliefs to the point that we surrendered all those guns, that Second Amendment. So we still have some chance to save this country and restore the republic. Does that sound familiar, Joe? Restore the republic to what it was before they sold us out to this corporation. But I'm telling you right now, the odds, it's going to be, to me, people who are of true faith, who truly believe, and who have the courage. And I think you will only have that courage if you have the belief. I think the two things kind of go hand in hand. Will you have the courage to fight and defend if you don't have any core beliefs, if you don't believe in what is righteous in this country? And how anybody could sit there and support these people who did these terrible, terrible things to these babies. I mean, that's evil. If you're going to, the Satan, it's just so disgusting. And then I hear these young people acting like that's okay. But they don't know what's going on. The ignorance out there, the true ignorance. And we talk about what are we going to do about it. We talked about the election. And, the judgment day, 2024, is truly judgment day. But we are going to be tested so much before that, my own opinion, because of this invasion we have going on. Not only the invasion, I mean, there's that invasion on the southern border. There's that invasion coming into California called the CCP and how wonderful they are. I mean, well, this culture has been taken over by so many, even though deep down, I truly believe the majority of people believe as we do on this call. I believe the majority of Americans truly do believe in God and believe in freedom and believe in this Constitution, believe in this Declaration. But are they strong enough? And if they don't get the if they don't seek God, I think for that strength, they won't help us defend it. They will sit there and we've talked about it, the 80-10-10 rule, 10% of the people take off running kind of thing. Or, excuse me, 80% of the people get up and the building's on fire, whatever. It's 80% sit there and do nothing. 10% actually lead the 80%. Then 10% just sit there and hang out and do nothing at all and get burned up kind of thing. You got this situation. 10% of us are leaders, and I think most of the people that are listening to these shows are the leaders who actually take action to promote the right and wrong, the truth, and to try to get people engaged to get something going on. But you got 80%. Out of that 80%, how many of them, 80% that believe the same as us, that just sit there waiting for someone to nudge them? Hey, you got to do something. You can't just sit there. You've got to do something. You are part of this equation. You are part of this culture. You are part of either the problem or the solution. But then you'll have the other 10%. Again, and I'm talking about the people who actually genuinely believe in the country, that 10% that will just sit there and go up in flames, because you'll never be able to get them to do anything. They don't have a will. I don't know what it is, but they just sit there and do nothing. And then you've got this other element out there that has all this will. Their allegiance to Allah is much better than what that 80% is to God kind of thing, who are out there ready to destroy us. And we all know it's an irate minority that can make a difference. So are we going to let that irate minority, though, to take us down, or are we going to stand and defend? Are we going to allow another non-American to be president again? Are we going to allow another corrupt election again? That kind of thing. I'm sorry, Joe, did you want to say something?
Well, I'm just saying, she made some key points there about misinformation, and that's absolutely correct. We cannot allow disinformation to take over. We become too complacent. We have to stick to one standard of truth. Truth, that's it. What is truth? Truth is not relative. There's only one truth, one fact, and only one way. And it can't be, I agree to disagree. We've been too complacent. Look what's happened to our country now. And we're going to lose it because of this, because the majority's will of evil will always prevail, because people choose immorality over morality because it's easier, it's just, I don't know.
Go ahead, Karen, I got a couple other callers.
Okay, I really believe that it's time that we all have a real course in what this Islam religion is really all about. because Islam is not just a religion. Islam is also a governing arm, and Sharia is the way that they will govern. And it is a complete and total opposition to our Constitution. So how can any Muslim, which, by the way, in the Quran, there is a chapter devoted to how you should lie. Every person that is a practicing Muslim must perform jihad. I didn't realize that until today. Now, the jihad was not that you have to perform violence, but you can jihad in multiple ways. You can jihad in taking over business. You can jihad in taking over government. And you can get there by lying. Lying is not only permitted, it is condoned. They are told to lie. So how can anyone who is a practicing Muslim put their hand on anything other than the Quran? But more important, how can they pledge allegiance to uphold the Constitution that they're not allowed to believe in? And I don't think people realize that. They are absolutely not allowed to believe in it. They must practice Sharia. And Sharia governs the way they are to handle money, the way they are to handle women, the way they are to handle gays. They are actually told that gays are to be killed, and this is in the Quran. So how can you be a, again, how can you be a practicing Muslim and believe in the Quran? You wind up believing in Sharia, and then you're going to say, I pledge allegiance or I take an oath to the Constitution? You can't. It's a lie. And electing people to office is part of their jihad.
It is. It's part of the takeover. And, you know, if people go back and look years ago, I don't know if I want to say 4 or 5 years ago, whatever, the shows in the past on here, you will, I may have even called it, Can a Muslim Be an American? And I was going out there and said, in one sense, yes, from, yes, freedom of religion kind of thing, whatever, in some legal, could you be an American? But can you ever truly be an American when you don't believe anything like it? You're not really. I mean, it's a contradiction. You don't believe anything the same. And this is why Jefferson said every American should study the Quran. They need to understand these people are coming, are gunning for them. If you don't believe them as they do, they want you dead. That's their job. That is what they believe. You do not belong here if you do not believe the same. And so everything that we did to try to tolerate this difference of religion, which is the real issue, and I know we've had that conversation on this show in the past too, is Islam, is it a religion? And no, it's an ideology. It's not a religion in the way that we traditionally think. So there's a whole different methodology, thinking, whatever you want to call it. They are here to conquer. And who was one of the biggest? He didn't start it. Who was one of the biggest leaders was, of course, Obama, bringing in refugees, having them planted in different areas to take over local governments. And, you know, and he, and Americans, they elected a non-American to be their president. And that's just the sad fact. That's what it is, and because we deny the truth. Not all of us, obviously, but because of all the tolerance. We had to have history. We had to have a black person as a president, and so we ignored all the facts. The facts didn't matter because we wanted to be part of history. So many did. To say that we had a black, it doesn't matter that the black president you're electing wants to destroy you. That doesn't matter. But then we have some pearly whites like the Clintons out there and the Bush. Apparently the Bush, between the Clintons and the Bush, the NGOs they have out there that are helping to feed all these illegals and promote all these and ship them all over the place, the enemies from within. So it's you know, we have some very white evildoers amongst us, very rich and wealthy, who seem to be going along with all this, the globalist routine. So there's more than one thing going on here. There really is. But it ultimately comes down to the fact that we, the people, have just tolerated, gone over the other way, acted, you know, like, well, yeah, this is what we're supposed to do, and that what we believe and what our culture is. can be changed. And it can be changed, but you won't have a country anymore. And that's what's kind of happening. I'm going to see, I got three other calls. John, let's see. I've let John out there waiting quite a while. John, are you there? Hello? Okay. John either has a problem with that mute button or he gets distracted. Okay. Well, we will mute him for now, and I'll check back after. And then we will go to, we've got Cindy, and then we have Nathan. And Cindy, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay.
I'm here.
Okay. What would you like to share tonight?
Well, number one, I think the win in Argentina is amazing, and I don't know if anybody saw the video of him, this young man, just went crazy, and they handed him to the new president, and he hugged him and loved him, and that's what this is about. I mean, those people have suffered all that time. It's going to be
he's
very
a better
hard
dancer than Trump.
it's going to be a really, really hard time for them to bring back their country, and the one way that they're going to do it is he's going after the banksters. This is where I differ, okay? I'm all in for, I get the whole Muslim thing, but we're not going to kill them all. It's impossible. So what are we going to do about it? I listened to a guy that he calls himself, he ran as a socialist in England. You probably remember him, George Galloway. I listened to him on Sunday because I want to hear what the other side has to say. Okay? And he is not pro-Israel. He's not pro-Palestinian. But he has interesting people on his show. And they talk about things that really matter. Like, why does BlackRock want this to happen? They want to destroy these countries so they can use it economically to rebuild it. A lot of that is what's going on here, whether we want to believe it or we don't want to believe it. But that is part of it. Think about it. When a country is doing well, how are these evil people, the corporatists and the banksters, going to make any money? How? They're not. They love to rebuild the country. You know who's going to make all the money in Ukraine? BlackRock, Vanguard, all of them. This is the problem, and we have to wise up. And I just think that, the Muslims, I've read the Quran, just like Karen. We've been through this 1,000 times. You probably know Tom Trento after 9/11. I had Bridget Gabrielle twice, la, 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 la. I've done it all. I just want to know, what are we going to do? Are you going to deport them all? You're going to tell all those Muslims in Dearborn that they can't live here? See, there is this problem that we have. They're here. And they've been living here before this thing happened in Israel. So I want to know what the solution is. There is no solution. They're here. They're staying. And there's not a goddamn thing we can do about it. Period. There isn't. And this is how they pin one against the other. And I'm sorry. It is one against the other. And the other thing is, we're not giving any more money to Ukraine. That Ukrainian president every day is on Twitter begging for money. We got to give us all the excuses and everything. And we talk about these children who were tortured and murdered and everything. How about they've been murdered and tortured the whole time through child sex trafficking, the tunnels that were found, the children that were run through. You got to listen to Liz Crokin. Spot on. She was at Mar-a-Lago with Trump. We've known about it.
Let me, Cindy, hold on 1 second real quick. Just to, you're talking about the sex trafficking or whatever. Stacey Abrams' brother-in-law or somebody somewhere in connection with her been charged with sex trafficking. Oh, yeah. And I guess one thing I'll say real quick and let's get it back to you is what we have to do, which I don't know. It's definitely not going to be easy to do. That's the challenge. How we do it, what needs to be done versus how we do it is another story. What has to be done is we have to restore the Republic and restore the Declaration and restore the Constitution. And that means, you know what, if you're a Muslim here and you want to stay here, then you have to follow those laws. The Sharia is not going to be the law of the land, or we don't have a country. It's really that it, it's
And to say it's that simple, it's not simple. But it's you're one or the other. You cannot be both. We cannot live the mixing of cultures. I think France, I think, is one of the big examples. For any of you who have not watched Real America's Voices, there's this show. It's called Law and Border, and you really ought to go watch some segments of it. You can watch it on Roku, or it's free. You can get to it one way or another. Law and Border, and they show what is going on with this illegal invasion that's coming into this country. But it also shows what happened in France, how the Eiffel Tower is such a disaster, what's going on over there, because they tried to allow a different culture in. You have to pick a culture, and then that's what you have to live by. You can't mix all these cultures the way that some people want you to believe that you can. The tolerance. You cannot be an atheist and a Christian at the same time. It's really, to me, is as simple as that. Can you be an atheist and a Christian at the same time? No.
Nope.
If you can't, then can you be an Islamist, real law-loving Islamist, and an American at the same time? No, they don't go together. Find a country that suits you, that it believes in Sharia, and go there. America is not that, isn't going to be that country. At least I sure hope not, because that's where we're heading. To me, that's ultimately the key question. You can't have both cultures. You have to have, it's one or the other. You can't have both. They're not. How do you want to call it? Compatible. They're not compatible. You cannot be both. Are the American people, the Christians and the Jews, are we willing to surrender our country to this Islamic Sharia regime? Is that what we want? And, of course, let's bring in a few Chinese Communist Party people in there at the same time. Is that what we want? So you have to make a decision. Which one do you want? I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off there, Cindy, but I had to kind of throw that in there. But go ahead, Cindy.
Well, we already lost our country because the churches aren't going to get up and do a damn thing about it. I'm sorry, they're not. I love the fact that...
No, I don't believe the churches are. It's the people.
I like the fact that Malay said what he said. The Pope is evil, okay? I'm a Catholic. I was born Greek Orthodox. I went to the Greek Orthodox Church. When I was a kid, I went to the Episcopal Church. Then I stopped going to church. Then I tried the Evangelical Church. Married to Catholic, I decided to go to the Catholic Church. I had an unbelievable priest who spoke out from the pulpit, who said from the pulpit, let me quote, if you are voting for that woman, you are voting for somebody who wants to kill babies. Yeah, that's what he said. Mm-hmm. And he's no longer the priest there. And he gave the homily at my husband's funeral. But the fact of the matter is we've lost the churches. The evangelicals are sitting in the pews. They don't vote as much. Hey, stop it. They don't vote as much. And what happens is they sit there and they're waiting for Christ to come, you know, the raptures. I read the Bible every day. I don't read the whole thing. I read a prayer book. Then I go to the Bible a lot. Sometimes I don't understand it. Sometimes I do understand it. Most of the time I do. But I don't believe that God wants us to sit around and go, oh, yeah, okay, we're just going to go to church every Sunday and everything's going to be hunky-dory. No, that's not how it's going to work. And it's not going to work. And this is what's happened in our country. We are part of the problem. We don't want to see the truth. And the banksters, the central bank, that's what he's going to go after. Is Trump going to go after the central bank? Did that woman that was in England, what is her name? Jan, somebody, on a TV, on a Fox, Murdoch, early morning, like a Fox and Friends in England, said, you know what she said? Jan Hapler is her name. She said that Trump told the Queen, we're no longer a corporation, we're a republic. Now, I don't know if she's crazy, went viral. I do know I looked her up, and she was on the transition team when he came into power in 16. So what's going on here? I don't know. But I do know that this is going to take a long time, and people are – and, you know, we also have a really big problem with these people who are like – we have so many grifters. I was talking to somebody the other day, an important person. And he admitted to me that there are grifters. Yes, because they're the first ones. It's just like the people running the DeSantis campaign. They're all grifters. We've got grifters on our side of the aisle. Do they really want to fix it? You know, if they fix, just think of it this way. If everything got fixed, what would there be left to do? Just saying. It's totally unrealistic for us to think that we're going to fix everything. We're going to try. We're going to hopefully that Trump will get elected, and he will try. But it's going to be, it's going to be a hard time, and it's not going to be easy. And people are going to be, are not awake. I'm sorry, they're just not. You know, this whole thing, when I think of, I think what's happened in Israel is terrible, all right? But I believe in just war theory. And just war theory is an eye for an eye. I mean, maybe we should go in there and blow them all up.
Well,
are we going to go?
The enemy's from within. They've done everything to destroy any kind of national defense we have for our own homeland, much less anybody else's. What they've done?
And how are we going to do
totally,
that?
Marginalize us.
How are we
going to
do it,
so,
Sally?
Yeah.
I mean, we don't have any money, and they want us to give money to Ukraine and Israel. I think somebody pointed out the best thing the other day is, who's going to give us money? Who's going to come and save America? I'm so sick of this. I'm sick of us. And, you know, they do this on, this is what, you know, Candace Owens just got apparently thrown under the bus from David Horowitz, who I've admired him forever. You know, when his first book way back in the 70s. He's a great guy, okay? And I get where he's coming from. But is Candace Owens trying to tell us something else? I mean, you know, let's remember a couple things here. Some of this stuff has a lot to do with some evil people who are banksters. And BlackRock and all of that, they want to destroy countries. Because when they destroy countries, you know what? Then they can go in and fix them, and then they can make a whole lot of money. It's so sick and evil. It makes me sick to my stomach. And my father was a history major. You know, he loved our country. He took me around New Jersey and, you know, all that. But I think the Constitution is dead. Where is it? Where is it alive? Nobody even talks about it anymore. The Tea Party doesn't even talk about it anymore. I mean, they're up there supporting Israel and involved in this, whatever it was, you know, rally for Israel, which was great. That's great. But wait, I thought we were supposed to be working on the finances for our country and trying to, you know, rescue our Constitution. I don't see that happening. I really don't. And it makes me ill.
Well,
and I'm mad, and I think people better wake up to the real truth, not the truth that's on television and not the truth on some of these blogs or on Twitter for that matter. You've got to look deeper than that because it really is true. BlackRock's going to go in there, and they're going to make a fortune. They're going to build Palestine, and they're going to go in and give money to Israel. It's all a lie. Everything is a lie. They don't care about the people. Nobody cares about the people of either side.
Well,
and yes, what do we do about the Sharia? What are we going to do about it? I don't know.
There's two different things going on. Excuse me, I just mentioned this too because you're bringing up two very valid points. The BlackRock, they're not the Muslims. They're not the Muslims causing the problems. You got two different wars. You got the Great Reset, the United Nations, One World Order. You got that going on over here. And you've got this who's being empowered by the Sharia nonsense, the Sharia takeover, the Islamist takeover at the same time. And then you've got CCP over here, too. And this is why, without my own opinion, and, you know, just because I heard the same thing, too, a while back, that Trump said we were not a corporation anymore, we're a republic and all that, which I don't know. I remember that discussion. I can't remember whether we ever truly proved that was said or not. But the fact, if he said such a thing, or even came close to saying it, or even someone thought he was thinking it, and it got out there, it's why you know they don't want him in there. That's why they're going to have to do something.
Of course, they want him dead.
This is why something is going to happen before 2024, because right now they're not stopping.
You know what has to happen? The UN has to get the hell out of the United States, number one.
Well, and we had that conversation, too.
Trump talked about it. Do it.
Yeah.
We don't need to be involved in the UN. Goodbye.
Karen, Karen, did you want to chime in? Then we got to get Nathan in here. Nathan's been very patiently waiting out there.
We have to stop giving them money. That's the whole crux of everything. If we would stop subsidizing BlackRock, if we would stop subsidizing Green, if we would stop subsidizing the UN, if we would stop giving them money, then they wouldn't be able to do what they're doing. And yes, they should get out of the United States. That would be fantastic. And Trump tried that. And the minute he left office, Biden put us back in. So that then you know immediately this is the real problem. And as far as the Muslims go, they should not be, if you're a practicing Muslim, I don't care what you say, you cannot be in governmental offices, period. You cannot participate in government because you cannot take an oath to the Constitution. And sadly, the stupidity of tolerance is overplayed by all of these morons who are allowing that to happen. So the first thing that should happen should be we are going to follow the Constitution, and therefore, if you are a Muslim, you cannot run for office. Why? Because you are following your religion and your governmental orthodoxy, which says you can only follow Sharia. And the the Bill of Rights says that the Constitution is the supreme law of the land. So you can't have Sharia overplay the Constitution and take an oath to office, and it doesn't matter because in the Quran it says you can lie. Well, how do we know whether they're telling
us Karen, you're right about it all, but how are you going to stop it realistically? It ain't going to happen.
It's not.
No, we have to elect people. The sad part is, and it's going to not happen tomorrow, but the only thing that can really happen is that we have to elect people that will be able to say, no, we are going to follow the Constitution, and therefore you cannot have these people in office. And then we should stop subsidizing them. And then
That's very true, and Cindy, I can already read your mind. You're going to say probably something close to the same thing as I'm thinking. Then I'm going to get Nathan in here real quick. This is the fact that the ballot box has been so corrupted, the likes of which, and I mean, when you think that's why 2024 is extremely important. I don't know what's going to happen before them, but for all the treasonous traitors that are in public office today, I don't care what party they're. I mean, the party. It's all a farce. It's all a cover up. Do you truly think McConnell is a conservative constitutional Republican? No, he's not. And then of course you got these other morons who wouldn't impeach Maracas or whatever stupid name for down there on the border. You know, so the parties themselves, those don't mean anything. You got to go and find out what these people really are, because it's all a game to them, and these are the enemies from
within.
No,
it's all about money.
And all because of the corruption. The CCP, who's giving them the money? Soros and the CCP. So how do you get rid of all the how do you elect decent, honest people when you've got Soros and the CCP and this other element out there with a bunch of greedy people who want money and power? That's probably, you know, that's the other challenge, which I know is exactly what Cindy was getting to. How do you change it all? But I'm not going to give up trying, and I know Cindy's not either. It's only through truly the education, informing people and telling that 80% you've got to get engaged. You can't keep sitting on the sidelines. If you believe any of this, you better do something, or you're not going to have a right to watch that stupid Super Bowl game. You've already lost a lot of your rights to go fishing or do whatever else you're going to do. You're not going to have the right to spend your own money because that current digital currency, I think Joe had said something on another show that they're getting closer and closer to the digital currency. Joe, did you say something? I'm sorry.
No, I was just saying that's a good point you're making. That's right. You know, how many of us out there, I'm not saying you guys or anybody or whoever's listening. Well, if you are, if you're not, how many of us are supporting grassroots candidates that are saying restore the Constitution, uphold the Republic, restore the Republic. How many people now, Sally, you know, that's my platform. How long have I been preaching that? That's what I'm running on. You know, where is everybody? Where is everybody? You know, we need volunteers. We need people out there working for us. You know, I don't know where you are, what state you're in, but it shouldn't matter anyway. We got to support these candidates. And Trump's not our savior. I mean, yeah, we need him in there, but still, he's not our savior. We got to do this locally from the bottom up.
Yeah, exactly.
The other thing that I would add is we know who these people are. It's time to confiscate their money because they got it by stealing it from us. Why did Viktor Orban in Hungary confiscate all of Soros' money and we are allowing him to operate here knowing full well that all he's doing is working with the CCP and trying to destroy the law in America? So we need to have people with a backbone who will do that. We had 400 state leaders, business owners, techie gurus all doing a clapping, like little seals for Xi. I would take away their money also. That was totally anti-American. Talk about an insurrection. There is a monetary insurrection.
Well, those that accuse the honest, decent people of insurrection are the ones that are actually committing it. Now, Cowboy Logic on this past Saturday's show on Real America's Voices, Claire Lopez was on there, and they were talking about all these young military men coming in over this border and how these cells are being planted. She had an awful lot of information. I won't attempt to go over all of it. But you might want to go listen to what she was talking about because they're saying, well, what do we tell people what they need to do? And this was so true, and, of course, it scares me, and Karen will know why it scares me. It scares her, too, I believe. You have to be local. When it comes to defending this country, it's going to be done locally. Forget these idiots in Washington. They're the enemies, unfortunately. Most of them are the enemies. Not all, but most. And it's going to have to be – you are going to have to defend yourself. You better be prepared at a local level. And they specifically said it's the sheriffs who are going to have to be engaged. And they were telling people you better reach out to your sheriffs and ask them, are they prepared for some kind of an incident, an invasion, an attack – well, we already got the invasion, but the attack on your community. What are you going to do and what is that sheriff ready to do? And that's, of course, when I said, oh, dear Lord, if I have to depend on this sheriff, I'm in trouble because whatever. We got to get a different sheriff, but it's going to – 2024 is a long time away, November. We've got a year, 12 months to go in this thing before there's any chance to change the D.C. and regime and all the different local offices as well and everything else. We got to deal with the people that are in office here today. What do we do to correct that problem of these morons, these treasonous traitors that are in public office today? And how many out of those that are all in public office today, how many of them are the Matt Gaetz and the Michael Johnsons who truly believe in this Constitution and believe in God and all, this one nation under God and God we trust? How many of them are really willing, out of all these people, in all public office, obviously D.C. I'm mentioning there, but you got to look at the local level. I don't even want to get into talking about Ron DeSantis. That guy, he's done some good things, but he sure has screwed up plenty of others, and he's bad news in so many ways. And if he's one of the better ones out there, people think he's one of the better ones. What do you got in these others? It's all pretty very scary to me. Alarming, I guess, is probably the better word, alarming. But you better be contacting what they specifically said. You better contact your sheriff and ask them what kind of plan do they have when your community, your county, in the case of Florida county sheriffs, when your county is attacked. What are you going to do to defend your people there? What are you going to do to stop any kind of governmental seizure of all the guns? What are you going to do? Because the constitutional sheriff is really supposed to be the highest power in the land, law enforcement power in the land, even though most of them don't know that. But what I see here in Jackson County, I don't feel the least bit safe in Jackson County, Florida, with the person who's in there as the sheriff. With that being said, I really do have to get Nathan in here. Now, we got about 20 minutes left on the regular time. We can definitely run over because I can see we have a few more things to talk about here. We can go. But it, so if you're listening on the Internet, just remember in about 20 minutes that will get disconnected. So if you want to continue listening after that, please call in. Nathan, are you there? And I'm sorry to have had to keep you waiting after all that time.
Yes, no problem. Listen, on that cities like Michigan cities, and I think there's one out in one of them other Midwestern states. I got a friend I went to school with many years ago that lives out there, and they got a couple cities there. I'll think of the state probably after I hang up. I can go look at it and find it, though. But listen, here's what happens in the Islam counties, cities. You got a group of people that take over that city. They control it, and nobody else comes in there. They run it. They don't have a police force like we do. They might have a police force, but it's a small police force that doesn't really do like our police do, because here's the way it works. If you got some lady laying around the backyard in the swimming or on the, by the swimming pool in her bikini catching a tan, and some neighbor looks over, they tip off an elder. Next thing you know, they show up to your house and they beat your daughter in the front yard while the neighbors are watching, and they learn, you know, a woman doesn't do like that. She needs to get her headgear on and all the rest of the stuff. That's how that works. It's elders. So if you're doing something wrong, I'm going to tell somebody, and it's going to get back, and they're going to come down. And that's, they rule literally like locally. And that's why when we were in the Middle East, there was one city. Remember, we went to Iraq. There was one city where this one guy decided, you ain't coming into our city. And he had a pretty strong army. You know, he was a guy that was backed by Iran. So this is why we have these cities here now. Now, if they would have came here starting out, you know, we wouldn't have said anything, but they didn't do that. They just moved in, they dominated an area, and anybody that lived there, they seen it and decided they were selling and they moved out, or if they were renting, they moved out. So they are, a city is a stronghold, as they say, okay? Saddam Hussein tried this as soon, and he did it too fast because we were already on our way over. But whenever he went into Iraq, Kuwait, the first thing he did is kick people out, had soldiers go and kick people out of their house and brought Iranians over to occupy their house. That's what he did. It's hard to kick people out of water. The Marines hit the beach, and they started moving. So that didn't work because if they would have been there for a long period of time, it would have been an easier city to take. So that's what's going on in America. One day whenever you decide y'all can't live like that, that's not the way it is under our Constitution, we're going to find something else out too. We got Chinese military here living in America and enforcing Chinese law among the Chinese citizens here. And it's like, how is it that our government is allowing that to happen? You know, these people are knocking on your door and saying, hey, you ain't behaving right. You know, oh, yes, sir. Got it. So the Chinese are doing that, too. They're occupying us and getting that stronghold. And got to go back to, the most favored trade nation was the Republicans' policy, you know. And you can't tell me that the Republicans ain't for this stuff. All this has been their policy. I don't know if you've seen that letter I sent to Heritage Foundation, because Heritage Foundation was the one who helped China get their foot into us through Newt Gingrich with the 1994 contract with America, you know. So we got to beat the Democrat stuff is over. That ain't a plan. We got to get everybody out. And right now I'm hearing stuff that the Republicans are doing pretty good and stuff, but when you point out to them, look at how many Republicans there are compared to how many independents there are, they go into ignore mode. And I'm talking about these talk show hosts that are out here pumping Republican. Now, I want to remind you, too, on this. Clear Channel and iHeartMedia is owned by Mitt Romney through his Bain Capital. So you know what?
Yeah.
We're taking over now. On my last point, and this is what woke me up, when you at the beginning of the top of the hour you were talking about how we need to turn back to God. I blame all of this on not the church, the church people, but I blame it on the Christian leaders because they've promoted the Republican Party. They endorse them, whether they're a pastor or whether they are a national part of a national ministry or something. They have promoted the Republican Party and not checking their vote records or their vote policy, their policies. Everything that the Democrats celebrate, they came from the origin of the doctrine came or the law came from the Republican Party. And we have to see that. We really do have to see that because what's going to happen in the next election, whenever you see the Democrats winning big, the Republicans are going to be yelling election fraud. They're going to be putting another video together to go out and show what happened about a bunch of mules, you know. But the thing is, this is both of the parties' policies, but the Christian leaders have endorsed them. And I'm listening to these big mega church drop pastors when they're teaching. They drop the idea. I guess they're kind of motivated by it. But this meeting we were in with the Republicans, and they tip off, you know, some of the people, Marco Rubio and Ted Cruz and a few others. They think they're somebody, and I've sent the record to a lot of them, and I put at the end of it, you have to prove me wrong. You have to prove me wrong, because if you're wrong, you got a larger audience than I do. Now, here's what my big problem with the church is. In the 60s, when these kids, the Great Depression, greatest generation kids, went off to school and got to college, and they hit the streets, turning into the hippie culture, and just went against everything that their parents stood for, that falls at the feet of the Christian leaders because these kids were in church. And they didn't have the discernment that they should have looked into what are these kids learning at school. And they didn't do that, which, you know, life was different back then. I can understand that. But when divorce hit the culture in the early 70s, Roe v. Wade was up from the Republican Party ready for these pregnant teenagers because dad left and mom's depressed and the kids are just hurting. And so, you know, these guys were real good about going down and speaking against Planned Parenthood, okay, but they didn't look at the record and see that this was Planned Parenthood was funded because George H. Bush. You know, they were too busy trying to keep the Republicans in there so we can win. And the Christian leaders, when they say America needs to turn back to God, America is who America is because the salt went into the salt shaker, and they went into, they became, the church basically became Amish 2.0. And then in order to reach these people, they have to dumb down their message and not be so offensive on the values of it, and the discipline that goes with it. So they push people away, and the two biggest enemies of the church today is the gays and the atheists. Guess what? These are the children of the 70s. Grandchildren.
Oh, I'm not going to argue with you. In a recent conversation, I can't remember with who or whatever, we're talking about the baby boomers. It was the greatest generation who fought and did so much to save the world and of course, our country. Then they trusted their government. They trusted the public schools. When we started changing the culture there, the baby boomers were not taught anything. They were not taught the history. They were not taught to get involved. They were given too much. They were no responsibility. to me, that was kind of when this culture really started to break down, and where these other elements. And, of course, you go back to Cloward Piven and, of course, Solinsky, Willis Radicals. How was this other element around the world going to take down the United States of America? How would they do it? How could they do it? And were, as a free society, freedom of religion, and all these wonderful things, a free, an open society, are we going to let communist people come in and take over, you know, come into this country? Are you allowed to be a communist in the United States of America? Are you allowed to be a Muslim
in the United
States of America?
Not under the Constitution. Not under the Constitution, but it's like these Muslims, they come here, and our Constitution will not discriminate against you based on your religion. Okay, because you're making an oath not to your religion, to the Constitution. Well, they'll say that because you don't believe they can run for office because they're a Muslim, they think you're discriminating against them, and that you're oppressing their religion. And we have to show that real fine line that you know, you can be any religion you want, but your religion. And here's the other thing in history. In the world and in the history of the world, religion has always been the practical application of the government, or the government is the practical application of the religion. You could basically say our laws are reflected in what we believed in our religion, but the thing with the Constitution, we went a step further that says, okay, we're not going to say you can't run for president because you're a Catholic. Or Baptist or anything else, but if your Catholic or Protestant religion says we got to dominate everybody else, you know, then you know you can't do that. But that's what they use, that you're discriminating against them. One of the things I keep hearing over and over and over, and when you hear something over and over and over, especially if you're not politically and oriented and you're not thinking about what you're hearing, I keep hearing everybody saying, this is the Israel war. Israel didn't get in a war. Israel got attacked. This is not Israel's war. Israel, just like you're walking down the sidewalk, some guy jumps out of the alley and hits you on the head. It's not your fight. It's his fight. All you got to do is defend yourself.
Yeah, but it's the messenger, the evil element of the messenger, the part of the enemy. I mean, it's truly, it's the war is not limited to Israel. I mean, that's the other part people ask. We would not have seen all these people in the streets promoting Hamas and all this other stuff and take down the Jews and kill the Jews and all this other stuff if we were being honest. But you got this news media that's bought out and paid for, and then this other element that has taken over this culture that totally misrepresents the truth, that they lie. They lie because they can lie and because it serves their narrative, that serves their purpose to take down America. And unfortunately, if we don't have enough stronger Christian people, God-fearing people, Jewish people who are willing to tell these young people, no, you're wrong, you've got this wrong, you're being misled. Try to tell that to a young person who knows everything. What's the joke about hire a teenager while they still know everything? Excuse me, it's quite true with these, especially these college students. They think they know all this stuff. So you're trying to undo all the brainwashing they've been given over time. Go ahead, Nathan.
Well,
and I see we do
thought.
Have another caller.
They haven't.
Kind of looks like
they don't have. Yeah, they don't
Go
have.
Ahead.
They don't have the knowledge. They don't have the knowledge, and they're talking to your heart. If you've ever been pushed around and bullied and you've seen other people and it happens, then whenever you hear that Hamas is the victim here, you know, how dare you? How dare you? And, you know, I can, you know, and this is it. You know, I could jump up and run around and tell everybody, just get on the news, call radio shows, and say, you know, we had a bank that got robbed down here, and I believe it, Sally. There's a lot of people that will hear that and hold it against you, and you can't confront them with what is your evidence other than this guy said it, because they are
right.
speaking
mm-hmm.
with their emotion, what we're speaking to their hearts and not to their minds, and listen, there is no reasoning. When there's no humility, okay, and when I say humility, you got to slow down and think. when there's no humility, there is no reasoning. And the definition of reason is a sufficient ground of explanation or logical defense. There is none of that. It's just what I hear, how dare them, and they jump on it, and nobody pays attention to we're going to completely wipe Israel out from here all the way back to the sea. Nobody is bringing anything up about that in their discussion about the Israel war, like Israel is the one that started this war. Israel got surprised by this.
Actually, I'm kind of glad you said that, too, because mainstream media and, of course, good old Fox News these days, too, they are the ones pushing that kind of narrative. And I would really encourage anybody listening, please go listen to other sources of information. Do not limit yourself to that stuff because you're going to be brainwashed just like these young people. I mean, if TikTok. I mean, how many of these younger people follow this TikTok stuff, which is – what was the one was talking about, Osama bin Laden, who was the one that we abused and everything else, and how awful it is. I mean, you go out there and listen. They're playing what these young people are saying. It's turning young people against America because they don't know any better, because we've allowed them to be dumbed down so much, kind of thing.
I'll say one last thing.
Go ahead.
I'll say one last thing. I think this Mike Johnson got brought to the front so we can fall in love with him, and he can be the one that wins the day in the next election, and it's going to be another Newt Gingrich reincarnated to win our hearts, and they do nothing. They do absolutely nothing.
I would encourage, and I'm going to be doing it myself. I actually had planned to do it this weekend and didn't, so I'm behind on that. But because some people don't like to call other representatives because they're not in their state and whatever else. But this guy is the Speaker of the House. He's the Speaker of our House. It is
He's
our
in
house.
Your chain of command.
And call his office. Leave the message. If you're able to talk to somebody during the day, fine. I don't know how easy it is to get through to the speaker, but in the after hours, or whatever. Sometimes if the in a mailbox thing isn't totally full, leave a message. We have to remind him what his job is, who he works for. And is it going to solve the problem? I don't know, because I know exactly what Nathan's talking about, too. The same concern that here we go again. And it's up to the people
mute me,
to get engaged.
Mute me. Listen, mute me, and remind everybody to call in real quick, or they're going to miss the show.
Oh, yes. Okay. I will do that. Thank you, Nathan. And again, we are down to like 2-3 minutes here. You got 2 minutes. If you're going to continue listening, please call in. We're going to run a little bit over here. And let me find him in the queue here. Okay. I just went ahead and muted Nathan. Not that I don't really like to do that, Nathan, but I'll open it up before we finish in case you want to chime in again. Flip the one button hand so I can see you if you want to talk again. And let's go. I'm going to guess this might be Sarge out here. We'll have to see. Sarge, is that you or somebody else? And if you're talking, you're on mute. The unidentified. Okay. Well, could be John Doe out there. John Doe or Sarge or someone else who's hiding their identity. Nope. Let's see. Let's try this other one. Let's see. Okay, one more shot. Is this Sarge?
You hit the mother load. How are you doing there, Sally?
I'm doing fine. How are you doing? We got somebody else out there trying to pretend to be you. I don't know. I'll try them again in a few minutes.
That's not possible. For good, better, for worse, I'm unique. Anyway. But, you know, I've heard so much truly stimulating dialogue here tonight. It's hard to know where to begin. I guess I'll concentrate on one very significant thing that watching a parade of brain-dead zombies on TikTok, virtue signaling about the new revelations they received, the hosannas from up on high from the long-expired Osama bin Laden, and imagining themselves to be the beneficiaries of some newfound knowledge that has been concealed from them. He laid it all out there, just like Adolf in Mein Kampf. Yeah, I mean, apparently they stopped reading after he got through excoriating the United States. They didn't notice the part about the degeneracy and the sexual licentiousness that needed to be excised, burned out, stomped away, gotten rid of. Women needed to be put in their places. Homosexuality, you better perish of thought. And the only way you're going to be able to be redeemed and even forgiven or allowed to coexist with us is for you to bow down to Sharia law. I guess they stopped reading. They must have missed that, because I got news for you. That one there, little bald-headed dame, who had all the metal in her face, do you think they'd be tolerated for one iota of a second in a Sharia rule Osama bin Laden-led nation? Well, baby, you got another thing coming if you believe that. Unreal watching it. I mean, it was unreal. Oh. I mean, it was like I said, all they fell in love with was the United States bashing and the small kernels of truth that were there, and completely ignore the distortions of history, you know, like with the atomic bomb on Japan. Of course, he didn't mention the millions of people the Japanese Imperial Armed Forces slaughtered throughout Asia and Southeast Asia. And he didn't mention, or China, he didn't mention that. No. That's the atomic bomb, and you know, as a way to prevent an invasion that would not only have cost hundreds of thousands of American lives, but millions of Japanese. But like I said, that's probably the best history lesson they are likely to get, because they know nothing of history. Nothing.
Nothing. And whose fault is that when we come right down to it? Whose fault because of the ignorance? Yeah, I'm sorry. Who's that? Is that you, Karen?
Yes. I think we're forgetting one thing. Most of these kids were not even alive when this happened. So they have no idea what 9/11 really even is.
Right.
And of course, they're told a bunch of lies to begin with. They have no clue. It's the same thing with the Holocaust. There are so many people that don't even believe it existed because they didn't exist when the Holocaust did. So we have the same situation happening right now with 9/11. And by us saying there's going to be another 9/11, they have no idea what that is. So
Well, you know, Sal, I may be a senior and all that and an elder, but, you know, I'm not that old. I mean, to say that I was around when Caesar Augustus was ruling the Roman Empire, but I can tell you something about his significance to the Roman Empire. That was quite a few years before I was born. I mean, you know, I understand people give that excuse to these young dummies all the time, but that's no excuse whatsoever. Most of history occurs before you were born.
Yeah, and that's the truth. But here's I know this is definitely Karen can chime in on this one, but this is what's happening today with all this transgender. It's all related. One thing leads to another. Unfortunately, parents went ahead and signed over raising their children to a public school system, and we've had different conversations. We won't get into all that tonight as to how that all happened. But when you think about it, and I mean, I've 10, 15 years ago, maybe 15 years ago, and I would watch these people, the parents taking their kids, they want them to be on the NFL, and they're going to all these football practice, and they got to watch the Super Bowl. And I've even asked them, I said, well, how much time do you spend talking to your children about the Constitution and their rights and the Declaration? Well, of course, that's not important. It's more important that they get a college scholarship so they can get in the NFL and they can be in the Super Bowl and they can be rich. This is what the parents were doing. And you kind of wonder why the transgender insanity has taken place in the schools. And I'm like, excuse me, and I said it on the show in the past too.
for every parent out there listening, you know, for every hour you spend with your kid playing some kind of useless sports game that really doesn't matter, but they get a lot of money for it, they can be as brain dead as possible. They don't need to know history to know how to play a football game. And for every hour you spend on that kind of stuff, would you spend at least the same amount of time teaching them something about the world they live in, the Constitution, the history, and what's going on out there, and what 9/11 was, and this other stuff? So the parents, and when you think, if you can't even teach, if you are not even telling your child what 9/11 is about, or any, if your child grows up and graduates from college and doesn't know who George Washington is, what is your responsibility in that? And that's been that was one of the biggest wins, if you will, for COVID, was to wake up parents and say, you know, you might want to find out what your kids are learning, what they're studying. They're studying oral sex. Is that really what's important? Is that what's going to make them all their money and their living? Is that what's going to help our culture? So, you know,
using the right pronoun, that's vital.
Exactly.
And so
the parents are under their own rights. So, yeah, go ahead.
Well, that's a whole big course of study right there. That's going to take much of the school year just getting the pronoun thing right.
But isn't that the whole point? You know, it's like, this is what you're teaching. You're not going to teach them who Washington is. George Washington, who, by the way, was a no-party affiliate and didn't believe in political parties and warned against them.
Yeah.
By the way, did you know
right.
that? I mean, the kids, no one's telling the kids. And I see these parents, and I mean, I remember going to Little Red
Hood. He didn't believe in tangling alliances either.
What's that?
He didn't believe in entangling alliances either.
Exactly. Read Washington's farewell address. If we would have taken his words and listened to them, where would we be today? We would be making our own goods. We would be making our own meds for those that we really need, which is a whole other story. We would be independent. We'd actually take care of ourselves. We wouldn't be on the hook to slave labor of communist China, et cetera, et cetera. Fair, you know, fair, equal trade, whatever. He did trade stuff, but nothing like what we have today. He did not believe in getting entangled in other wars. That he did not believe in us being the police of the world kind of thing. So, yeah, if we would have taken his lessons, his words to heart, we'd be in a much better place today. But then again, the average college student, how many of them, seriously, anybody on the call, seriously, what percentage of college graduates today truly don't know anything about George Washington, President George Washington?
I'd say almost all of them know nothing other than maybe the name. They might recognize the name. They might know he was the first president of the United States under the Constitution after it was ratified. Maybe that's a stretch, but nothing more, for sure.
No.
Oh, no, but definitely know one thing. Here's the one thing that would know over and above everything else except maybe his name. He was a slave owner.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That's the only thing they can remember.
I don't
and
need
of course,
to know about anything else. Yeah, don't need to know anything else.
Correct. But, and again, we can go back to the key question, okay? Why do kids, why have two, three generations, whatever it is, these last few generations, know nothing about history? Who is ultimately responsible for the ignorance of those children? And I go back to say, yes, the parents and also, of course, public schools, public education, the negligence or whatever you want to call
the
it.
The apostle.
Well, you know what, you know what I do to get people interested in the facets of American history they really need to know about? Since the only thing you know about George Washington is that he was a slave owner. What I will say is, let's say, well, you don't know that bit about George Washington. Don't you know he was the greatest American to ever live? Oh, that gets their hackles up. Well, Lord have mercy. It gets their hackles up. I mean, it gets, what do you mean? He was a slave owner, and he killed Indians. That's the first thing they say, practically, right? And then I can let him in on what he really was and what he really meant to the country and why he is, in fact, the greatest American that ever lived. It wouldn't be the United States without him. He was the single most indispensable person to the Revolution. And explaining it to them at least makes them rethink some of their little pat, phrase, bumper sticker slogans that they've been educated with all of their life.
Well, and goes back to what Karen has said in the past when we've talked on here, too. It's like this culture, this younger culture that was listening to this nonsense on TikTok and whatever else, just wait until they get that digital currency, and it's like, oh, you think you're going to go there and you're going to go buy that six-pack of beer? No, you're not. No, you don't have that right to. And they just have no clue of what is at stake here. What is at risk? Because they've had everything handed to them on a silver platter, just about most. They're not used to any type of restriction. Of course, go rob a bank. That's okay. Go rob those stores, the jewelry stores. That's okay. Well, what we have developed in what this culture believes, and when all of it hits the other way, there's going to be even more suicide than what we see today. And that's the issue with the suicide and stuff like that is obviously telling in itself of what's happening to this culture and things like that. So but ultimately I do look at the parents as like, well, what did you think being a parent was supposed to be? Changing a few diapers for a few years and that was it. And what did you, or that your whole point was to get your child onto a pro sports team. That's what your goal was. The parent was, because it's pretty sick when you think about it. And you got to hold the parents accountable too. And when it comes to God, how many parents say, well, okay, yeah, it's Thanksgiving. We're gonna say grace at dinner time. And that's okay. So, and then Christmas, twice a year, three times a year, you say grace. Is that what you taught your kids? What do you think they think? This element that we have created, this culture we have developed, and here we are. So with that being said, let's anything else, Sarge, you want to add right now? We'll bring some other people back in, see if Joe or Karen or Cindy have any want to chime in. Or
no,
Dr. Colbert,
I
think Dr. Colbert's still there. Go ahead.
Well, there's a biopic coming out this weekend. I don't know if it's going to be any good or not, but it is about a major historical figure, not saying that he was necessarily a noble or great or wonderful historical figure. He was certainly significant. Napoleon. Maybe you can tell him he's got some good CGI in it. Maybe get some historical. Maybe you can get somebody to go along with you, and maybe they'll start asking questions about the actual Napoleon.
But the real thing, if the movie impresses them enough.
Yep, the very last part kind of faded out. Okay. Okay, well, I did hear part of that. And any of you who haven't watched Police State, you need to watch that too, because that's where we're heading to. Cindy, any more, anything else you want to add on? And we've got a few minutes here we can talk, because I'm kind of going around the table for any final words of wisdom, which, of course, is difficult at times, what you're thankful for and what you're doing if you want to encourage people to do. Cindy? And Cindy, if you're talking, you're on mute. We go from one extreme to the other, where the mute button isn't on and you hear the background noise going back and forth. Well, Cindy, if you're still out there, just let me know when you can chime in. Joe, what about you?
Yeah, I just want to say, I'm thankful for, my two sons, obviously. I'm glad they're healthy. I'm thankful for that. And I'm thankful that they're in my life and they were born. I'm thankful for, of course, what we do have is for freedoms in this country, and for all the people that have fought for our freedoms and that I fought with for our freedom and sacrificed, and especially those that gave and paid the ultimate sacrifice, that gave their life for the idea of freedom. And because, this idea of freedom can never die, and we need to continue on and battling for it. And like I said in the beginning, we cannot give in to the hypocritical notion of, yeah, let's agree to disagree, and, you're right and I'm right. No, the truth is not relative. There's only one, but we can only live by facts. And the foundations that are built upon facts are strong. If our foundations are built to stand, how can the righteous survive or live? You know, we've got to continue battling on. Is the republic going to be restored? I don't know. God does say that, you know, if the people turn from the wicked ways and repent, then he'll, you know, we can have an awakening. But in the end, though, it all does go down. And, you know, like in the book of Ezekiel that was written 2,500 years ago, we see the Israeli situation playing out as written. You can't make that stuff up. You know, so all I can say is, you know, keep fighting for what's right. You know, evil flourishes when good men do nothing. And as far as the election goes, look, I'm a candidate. I don't see nobody out there coming to my website or coming and saying to support me. You know, I've raised a couple hundred dollars so far. You know, that's enough to pay for the filing in December. You know, I've been doing this for years. Support the Republic, stand for the Republic, restore the Republic. You know, I'm not about, you know, I mean, there's other candidates out there, too. We have got to stop, get off Trump's you-know-what. Donald Trump's got enough money. He's okay. Don't worry, but he's going to be okay. You know, he's got enough support out there. We got to support the local candidates, the small people out there that get no media attention, get shadow banned, and don't have these big conglomerate websites. You know, we got to support the local people, the people that are small-time, that have been out there fighting for years for our republic, the veterans, the people that have sacrificed. You know, these people are forgotten about. And we're out there struggling, trying to fight for everybody, you know, and we're willing to die for this republic. And it's probably going to be the few and in between that'll restore this thing like it was during the founders' time. So, again, just God bless the republic. And, yeah, I'll probably do a show after yours like I usually do, just maybe a documentary or something. I don't know, see who calls in. But other than that, Tuesday night, 7 p.m., Restoring the Republic, that's my staple night. Thanks, Sally.
Okay, and your website for your campaign?
Well, you just go to Joseph Gibson NC House 2024. You just Google that and you'll find me.
Okay, that's the North Carolina House, and I know several of the people on this call are from Florida, so we won't be able to help you as far as door knocking
yeah,
and stuff
that.
Like that, but well, it will encourage everybody to help because you're right. This is why it's an unfair to say we need election reform. It is an understatement because good people are blocked time and time again because of the evilness of the Soros who can buy out the evil element out there. So we have to support. And I was a candidate out there at a local level back in Orange County. I know what that's like. I know Karen ran as in a local election at one point, a state type thing. So we know what it's like when you don't have the big bucks behind you. It's very difficult, and that's why it's going to be 2024. It's hard to clean out the garbage, the swamp out there, regardless
of
what Trump says. He can call it out. He can identify him, but at the same time, he has to work with him. So it's a tough thing to do to clean out the sewage. It's a cesspool. It's not a swamp. It's a cesspool full of sewage. Okay. Well, anyway,
and
thank
Karen,
you so much,
I'd
Dana.
Like to add one other echo, the sentiments of people who are expressing their thanks for all the things we thank for, family, friends, nation, veterans, you know, good people generally. But I also like to add my thanks for you and your wonderful platform and platforms like Joe's and others with the great interlocutors that you can exchange ideas and information with and marshal people for action. I think that is out. Bloody standing, and I am truly grateful that you do the things you do, and along with the other people, help enlighten as many people as possible who are not being enlightened by the traditional sources of news. Thanks a lot, Charlie. Appreciate it. And you too, Joe.
Thanks.
Thank you, Sarge. God bless you. Thank you.
Yes, thank you, Sarge. And you bring so much information too. We do appreciate it. The history. It's us. We are the ones who are going to save this country. It is the people like us who are going to do it, but, and not alone, but we're the ones that are out there. The thing about the when the theater's on fire, you know, you got 10% of the people, if you're lucky, 10%, who are out there pushing to get people out of the building, get out of the way, say to tell them what to do. And it's us, you know. It's really the people like us who are going to use what little bit of resources we have to go out there and get the message out there and try to save this republic. Okay, with that being said, now we've got Karen, and then after that, Dr. Tolbert will close us with one final prayer for Thanksgiving. But Karen, and I guess I'll go back to Cindy one last time. Cindy, if you're still there, let me know, or if you're take off the mute button. Okay. Well, thank you, Cindy, for calling in, too. Very good information. Sometimes, you know, 2-3 hours isn't quite enough on here. But, Karen, go ahead, please.
Well, I would like to thank everybody for paying attention, for listening, and for helping to spread the truth. And that's what we have to do. There's nothing more than we can do. We are either going to be victims of lies or we are going to be warriors of the truth. I choose the truth. And I choose America because regardless of what anyone says, there is no country in the world as bad and as flawed as we are that offers as much to the people as we offer. It is going to take a long time to get this back, and we can't be naive to think that it's going to happen overnight. It took them 100-plus years to get us to this stage, so it's not going to happen tomorrow. And you're right, Trump is only the beginning. He is not the end. He can only put the things in place. But unfortunately, we saw that once an election can be stolen, all of those good things that he did can be turned around in a minute. So we have to be vigilant, and we have to teach our children to be vigilant. And we have to get back to putting a civics education in school, of course, once the kids can read and write and do math. I'm tutoring. And what am I having my student read? I'm having them read the Constitution. Why? Because I know they're not getting that in school. So there are many things that we can do. We can mentor a child. We can make sure that our legislator knows the truth and that we pick the right person. But most of all, we should be praising God and be loving our family. And with that, a happy Thanksgiving to all. And please listen to my show on the weekend, which is on America Out Loud Talk Radio Network on Saturday and Sunday at 7 in the morning and 9 in the evening. And Claire Lopez and Alex Newman will be my guests this week. So thank you, Sally. Thank you, Sally, for allowing me to have another platform to speak on.
Excellent information, and if Claire Lopez and Alex Newman, that is going to be an excellent show. And I'm telling you, I just listened to Claire Lopez on Cowboy Logic over the weekend. You got to listen to what she's saying and what's happening in this country. Excellent information. And the other is the other simple truth that you know we don't talk about, which actually Joe mentioned, the one: evil will flourish while good people do nothing, which is absolutely true. And that's what's happened. Evil has flourished while good people sat down and watched a football game or whatever. But the other is the truth will set us free. We got to get back to the truth. The truth will set us free. And this is where the truth has to matter. And this is where we've got people who are such frauds, such hypocrites, such treasonous traitors. You have to go seek the truth. Didn't it? Because they say it, because Fauci says it, doesn't mean it's true. We have to go seek the truth. We really do. It's the truth that's going to set us free, and it's our belief, seeking God's blessings, guidance, strength, that's going to help us unite as the American people. Americans, we must be Americans, not some other hyphenated something, something. We must be Americans. If the Americans come together facing the truth, I think we can still save this country. It ain't going to get turned around overnight, though. There's definitely the Great Depression, the greatest depression is on the way. But we have to defend ourselves now, or that's not going to happen either. We better be prepared. And with that being said, I'm going to go back to Dr. Tolbert for any final words of wisdom and a closing prayer. And I do wish everybody a very happy and safe Thanksgiving. Please think about what we said tonight. Please share this information with others. We have got to we've got to protect ourselves. And Dr. Tolbert, please, thank you so much, Dr. Tolbert, as well. Please go ahead and have a closing prayer for us.
Yeah, Sally, I just opened the door that a lot of what was discussed tonight under Systematic Theology Through the Spiritual Eye, Volume 2, God's Laws versus Man, actually covered the majority of the conversation not only Sharia law, the Torah, the Quran, it got into the equality and other issues that we're discussing. Of course, then the Thanksgiving of the 1623 and the grace and the glory of the reasoning of the coming days. So in closing prayer, Father God, I praise and magnify you, for you alone are God of miracles. Your mighty wonders cannot be contained, that ministries and believers everywhere who proclaim your word will also walk in mighty demonstrations of your awesome power to authorize them as they enforce your will. Lord Jesus, as we approach the day of your returning, I expect an increase in signs, wonders, and miracles, not only through your people, but also on behalf of your people to protect them and to prevent them from assignments from being cut short as they live in concentration service to your divine will. I pray this in Jesus' name. My confession for today, I confess that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and forever. Therefore, I know that he contains and continues to confirm his word with signs and following as he said he would. The supernatural power of my Almighty God is still on display today through miracles, signs, and wonders that manifest outside in the realm of ordinary events. And they do so both through me and on my behalf to the Lord Jesus Christ. I declare this in my faith and the faith of all the listeners that the Lord Jesus Christ, the Father, will come together in one body. The hands of God is laid upon the nations of 195 countries, and that they will turn themselves back to the Lord Jesus Christ, and they will believe in the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. In God's name, amen.
Amen. Thank you so much for that, Dr. Tolbert. Mm-hmm. And again, thank you, everybody, for listening. Very important message we hopefully shared tonight. Please share the information. Be thankful. Seek God's guidance and strength, because we have a rough road ahead of us. And I do believe we can save our country. We still have a chance. We've been given that second chance. And please tune in again next week. God bless America. Be good to each other. And we'll talk again next week. Happy Thanksgiving, everybody. Good night.
Amen.